That was your nickname in high school.
Yeah, totally true.
Are you kidding? That was the motto of the whole school.
Did you go to Faggot High?
Faggot High. Slutty Faggot High.
Slutty Faggot High. Now, there is a HBO series I'd love to see.
Principal Douche, Slutty Faggot High. It'd be like one of those, you know, like scary movie you know, parodies. It'd be like Principal Douche.
Yes.
And, you know,
everyone's just going out of their way to get detention.
Oh, Scott, I wanted to ask you, you know, speaking of Slutty Faggots and HBO, which character did you audition for in that show?
Which other gay?
The gay looking. Was it looking?
Yes. I can't remember. Oh, it was. I just remember like vaguely the scene that I had to do.
I want to know if you were the aging twink.
Oh, I would have been. I totally would have been the aging twink. Yes. Yes.
With the mustache that tries to suck off Scott Bakula.
Oh, really? It would have been that. He was kind of a bit lonely and a bit kind of, oh, it's so hard to, you know, God.
That was the lead, I think.
Oh.
Was it right. Like, yeah, no, the other one was...
My audition for HBO series. I didn't... had to film it myself. And,
that'll be the next thing. Once everyone has a podcast...
Everyone will have an HBO series.
Everyone will have a web series. We're at the thin edge of the web series edge.
Scott and I were in a web series this week.
See, there you go.
Oh, yeah.
There you go. It's how long before Bo does a web series about all the web series.
Yeah.
I mean, it's kind of good because it democratizes everything. You get a chance to see lots of things you wouldn't ordinarily see.
Yeah.
But it's just, you know what it shits me is when no-talent YouTube stars sell tickets just because they are off YouTube.
Yeah.
And I can't do anything. You know, Miranda sings, I'm looking directly at you. Miranda sings. You know what else she does? She shits me.
Yeah.
Miranda can do a lot of things. You know what I'd like to see? Miranda dives under a bus. That's what I would like to see Miranda do.
You know what it is doing, though?
Stick it up your no-hoper acting ass.
It's putting a lot of those assholes out of work. You know, the ones that when you've got a really good idea... You know the guys that are like, yeah, this is great. We're really enjoying it. What we need is it for it to be 30% funnier.
Yeah.
Those guys, they've got no job now.
The middle management who form opinions because they have to justify their existence.
Why don't we give the main character, you know, a dog sidekick who can talk, okay? All that kind of shit.
By the way, you're listening to the Poofcast. Fabulous Adam Richard, Outrageous Scott Brennan, Punctual Toby Sullivan.
Present.
I don't even know how we got onto this.
Well, it's kind of a hangover from the last question. Week. Someone asked a question about podcasting.
Yeah.
Or
yeah.
I don't know. But yes, it is cutting out those redundant middlemen who are the most toxic.
Awful. Who have to put in their opinion to make it seem like they're doing their job.
Yeah.
Like
exactly,
they have to fix stuff that ain't broke because they've got to actually.
Yeah, their job is not losing their job. Yeah. Like that's their job.
Exactly. I don't know if you remember, but when we'd come into the. offices each week, right? And just like form his opinion on this is this TV show that we all kind of worked on at one time. And this guy from the network would come in and just make his opinion about what needed to happen.
Yeah,
yes.
And it was just fucked.
Yeah.
He wasn't nice enough.
I think he came from a sales or a finance background. Do you know what I mean? He was not a creative personality.
But to give you...
And what he said was certainly not based in any kind of data.
Or reality.
To give you some context of the way these people's minds work, I remember I wrote a sketch for Skit House, which was... it was a really simple sketch. It was Corinne Grant dressed as an angel. At the hospital, and she goes, honestly, doctor, I was washing it in the shower and I slipped, and the camera pulls out and she's got a Christmas tree stuck up her ass. And it's just a really simple sketch. That script went off to Channel 10 and they came back with a query, which was, are we going to see the actual point of insertion?
Oh, my God. Why would you film that?
And it says, no, it's like, yes.
They clearly never worked with Corinne.
Yeah. There's going to be, you know, an extreme fucking wide-angle lens of Corinne Grant's ring hole with a plastic tree wedged in it.
In fairness, Corinne does have a very competent ring double.
Yes, that's true.
That's no way to talk about Jackie O.
I'm right here.
Jackie O got her start as Corinne Grant's ring double.
Double.
remember when we were working on, we were going to do an ad for the Matt and Joe show, and they were using the same ad as they were, as Kyle and Jackie O had just recently
filmed. Oh, yeah, right. Yeah. They have those template ads.
Yeah. So they showed us the ad, and the end of the ad, the punchline was Jackie walking away, and she had her skirt accidentally tucked into her undies.
Yes, I remember that ad, yes.
And as they did the reverse shot, I just went, "That's not Jackie's ass."
Oh, really? Well, who is Jackie O's ring double then?
And then that turned into a whole thing.
The ring double's ring double.
Yeah.
That became a whole scandal because Joe's like, "Well, if Jackie doesn't have to have her ass, I'm not having my ass."
That's great. That is great.
So it just became this company-wide ass double.
Great.
Scandal. What I would like to think is that they got someone who was, whoever was doing breakfast in Adelaide was made Jackie O's ass double. And whoever was doing it in Hobart was Adelaide's ass double. But whoever was doing Tari was Hobart's ass double.
Strangely enough, that was Limo at that time. So
it would have been Millie who worked with Limo, and there is no way Millie could ever pass for Jackie O.
Right. Oh, wow. But how did you know? How closely have you looked at Jackie O's ass?
Well, you worked under it for quite some time.
Look, Jackie's lovely, but she's one of these women who is tiny, 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 and then as soon as it hits her waistline, she goes out.
Shapely.
Yeah.
In certain areas.
She's kind of like, she looks like Barbie up the top, and then down the bottom, she looks like Nigella. So it's just suddenly curvy.
Yep.
And yeah, there was no way that it was Jackie's ass.
Because
the girl on the telly had no ass. Whereas Jackie has, you know, a normal lady's bottom.
Wow. And well, there you go. Let you know, but mark that off in your talking poofy bingo cards, people. Really, this is the first time we've actually discussed a woman's ass.
We've talked about the lady's ass.
Yeah, wow. Tick that one off.
And not the sense of paying out some twig for having a fucking lady.
No, Jesus.
An actual respectful discussion about a woman's bum.
Yeah,
exactly.
There you go. We're slipping.
Jesus. All right, I've got a query from an 18-year-old homo in Sydney. Self-confessed.
I got two queries sitting around my table. Hey!
Yay!
Sorry, 18-year-old homo.
I love that you're now just eating during the podcast.
Yeah,
it's a new informal regime, people.
Yeah, you're having walnuts, and they're really good for sperm, you know.
This is
what?
Good for sperm.
How are they?
I don't know. There's something in them that makes you sperm.
What do you know? How do you know all these things?
Because I've had to take them for my...
Oh, because of your motility.
Oh,
yes.
Oh.
Yeah, so I've been eating a lot of walnuts and they're really...
Strap in, Peter.
Yeah. Maybe you need to tape up the back of his head tonight.
Yeah.
You're going to get it in the eye.
Yeah.
It's going to be like being hit with a water cannon.
Yeah.
You know those videos of riot police busting up barricades?
Yeah. It's like being punched in the solar plexus from the inside. That's it. You're going to be winded.
Lung bruiser.
Oh, wow.
You're going to need a life preserver because you're going to drown.
Yay. No. I think that it's good for motility, so you'll probably just need a bigger towel. Yeah, because they'll go further. They'll start crawling on their own.
It's going to be like Gulliver's Travels, all these tiny little men swarming all over
it. Is that sperm or did you buy sea monkeys? Honestly, they're massive.
How long does it last? Because Peter and I aren't scheduled to have sex again until 2017.
Oh, okay. I think you should be right. Yeah.
Well, I have run out
when you
by
buy
then?
The new sheets and you get to cut a hole in the old one.
That's right. Peter's saving up for his next gift to convince me. I'm like Rose Hancock. You know what would make me horny? It's a new BMW.
I love the way that Rose Hancock is remarkably similar to Ronnie Cheng.
Just not as polite.
Yeah.
I've been seeing someone.
Drop that in.
Shut up. Show off.
And we were talking.
With your functional relationship.
Yeah,
it's not very functional. We don't live in the same city. But I was talking to him about that. We were talking about the, you know, certain things you do during the act of lovemaking.
Right.
And
were you discussing or negotiating?
No. I was.
Or were you just telling?
Bragging.
No. I was talking about my previous relationship.
Oh, right.
And I said, I explained that he only got about 6 or 7 goes at my special place. Right. The entire 6 years we were together.
It's not that special, Adam. And I was
it's not that special. Nah. And I was like, you know, and even, you know, there was, you know, it was like a birthday, maybe a Christmas, and the night his dad died.
Oh, wow. Oh,
you can't say no.
Do you think he killed his dad? Just so
that is the creepiest episode of Midsummer Murders ever.
Oh, that had David Spade in it. Was that David Spade?
Yes, he killed his dad, so he could fuck his boyfriend. Yes, I do remember.
Was it 6 or 7 times? Or was that because it was like actually giving birth?
Oh my god, it was ridiculous.
Right.
He seriously.
It was like giving birth to a baby holding a barbell.
And also he was, you know, he would do tricks with it.
I don't know why, but I just
boom,
thought of
doves.
Yeah, fire juggling.
just really uncomfortable positions, and I'm like, I'm sure this looks good on camera when you watch it in your little movie.
Yes,
when you're watching your little films.
Your little but
you're on Vine now.
Yeah,
not. There's no one here. Like I'm the only one that can see it, and it's hurting. Wow. It's uncomfortable. Wow.
Did you make it a horrible experience for him? Mm-mm. You there with a bit of...
I can't describe it because we're doing a podcast. But he used to do this thing where he would stand up above me and, like, drill down.
Oh, that is uncomfortable.
It is uncomfortable.
Yeah, that is uncomfortable.
No matter how big or small
I reckon,
it is.
I've said that 70 or 80 times.
That should be a new segment on the Poofcast. That's uncomfortable.
That's uncomfortable. What's uncomfortable?
It's our new catchphrase.
That's uncomfortable.
That's anyway.
You've just been made uncomfortable.
Speaking of uncomfortable.
Okay, yes, we have a letter. We have
a letter
query
from Bevan. In Sydney.
18. I love that guy that set up the Bevan Onimus.
I know.
Email address.
Like to send you a picture. You can check it out on the Talking Bookie.
Yep.
Talking Poofy Facebook page of a man ironing.
Yes.
In his underpants while drinking.
Perfect. CIA grade shit. Sorry, I keep interrupting this. Yeah. 18-year-old poofter in Sydney. Were you legal when you wrote this letter, sir?
I'm an 18-year-old homo in Sydney. Love your stuff and all. It's pretty cool that someone broadcasts a show with such ... depth. That's uncomfortable. As a young gay, I find myself really eager to get all lesbian, as you so lovingly say. Oh, now we're being hoist with our own petard.
Yeah, here we go.
With boys I find attractive, begrudgingly though. I don't think it's a conscious decision to go from 0 to 100 in 2 seconds, but more a craving for connection. In saying that, I think it's our generation's increasing pace at which we run, technology and social media, which makes us like that. Mm-hmm. I really want to be able to slow down and take things in my stride and play it cool while dating. Got any pointers for me and potentially other young gays who bring their mothers in a moving truck on the second date?
Well, it's true. We've spoken about this before, about how some of the young gays in our orbit do seem insistent on shacking up really quick.
Yes. And did we talk about how there are so many kind of high-profile gay couples now? That, you know,
we've
maybe...
touched
this,
on that as
we
well.
Talked about that last week with Wiz.
Well, maybe that's what people are role-modelling themselves on.
Yeah.
You know? Like, insofar as probably the highest... some of the highest-profile young gay people you know, in couples with other young gay people, maybe people are role modelling on that, and they feel like that.
You know,
I mean, I don't know. Was a straight couples shacking up at 20? And
I don't know.
I don't know.
I don't know any of them.
That would be far too uncomfortable.
Yes. I wonder, because I have recently done this. I went on a date at 11 a.m.
Wow. After your 8:30 fisting.
Call back to last week. I went on a date at 11 a.m., a breakfast date, and you know, he seemed nice. And I thought it was just going to be, you know, let's have a perfunctory breakfast and then get into a quick bit of a hand shandy and then done.
Mm.
And yeah, and then it was a really interesting, you know, when you go on a date and you're like, oh, you're actually cool. I quite like
yeah,
you.
Yeah.
And then we had, you know, the sex.
The filth.
The filth.
Yes.
It's best to get that unpleasantness out of the way.
Yeah. Was that was that a post-breakfast, like early afternoon?
Breakfast. It was lunch. It was lunch sex.
Oh, okay. Right.
So breakfast date with lunch sex. I left his house at 6 p.m.
Wow.
Yeah, right.
It was a 7-hour date.
And it was weirdly intimate. It was not the kind of casual.
Yeah.
I was expecting, you know.
But you know what?
Sometimes kind of weird garden sex that you always have.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, sure.
But
sometimes when it clicks, it just clicks.
I was just going to say that you know, from Bevan's perspective, is that maybe his problem is that he's kind of jumping in with people who aren't necessarily suitable.
Maybe they're not clicking with him as much as he's clicking with them.
Yeah. But whereas I think when once you get to kind of our age, which is like 100,
yeah.
You kind of, you know, you have a real sense that those connections happen quite rarely. And so when they do happen, you go, let's do it. Yeah.
Yeah. And the other thing is, I still remember when I was an 18-year-old.
Mm.
And every relationship was my last.
Yeah.
Every single one.
Yep. This is the one.
I'm going to be with you forever. I'm totally in love with you. Yeah. Oh, that guy's hot.
Yeah.
yeah.
Like, it's just how you feel at that age. Like, you are chock-a-block with the hormones.
Mm.
And they're the hormones that make you want to stay with someone forever.
Also, I think, too, for gays, sometimes there is an impulse to legitimize yourself, too.
Yeah.
Like, maybe he's come out of an environment, or maybe other youngsters have come out. Youngsters, what the fuck happened there? Really? Have come out of an environment, right, where they don't.
She's not 29.
Because
anymore.
You don't. This is. I think I'm a really big fan of this theory that you don't learn how to be gay. You know what I mean? You don't learn about your sexuality.
Yeah.
You don't learn about human relationships when you're gay because it's all suppressed until you leave school.
Yes.
Everyone else is going to fucking socials and roller skating or, I don't know, whatever, bush dancing. What do these kids
fingering.
Do? I don't know, whatever.
Finger
banging.
There's a fingering party at lunch.
Yeah.
You know.
And they kind of learn how to relate to people step by step, and gays get pushed out onto Oxford Street in first year uni and told to just go and there's the midnight shift, go and let nature take its course,
is
kids.
It kind
do
of,
you know
is it
mean?
Playing catch up?
Yeah, maybe.
That's
maybe.
Like my theory about, you know, when people come out of the closet and you have to reset their sexual
age
to 16 or their emotional age even.
Because they haven't learned how to.
Yeah,
that's very true.
How to do that and they don't. And it's like, while they're at zero, everyone around them is forming bonds because they've had 6 years or five years to learn how to do that. And they're like, I've got to get a relationship. It's not normal.
So, I say, Bevan, don't freak out. I wouldn't worry about it.
It's
I think
tough,
you're normal.
Though. Yeah, yeah.
For someone that age.
And don't feel guilty. Like, I get the tone that he's not having unsatisfactory relationships particularly, but he just feels a bit embarrassed about it.
They're probably not going for very long.
They're probably not going for very long. So just fucking do it. Just do what you do. Don't feel guilty
about
it.
I went out with a guy, and I think now, like at the time it seemed like forever, and I think now it may have been 7 whole days.
Right. My God.
And then hooked up with his best friend.
Wow.
And I used to get mistaken for him. How
that is creepy.
Twin couple.
I'm totally Game of Thrones twin set.
There's a blog. There's a Tumblr.
Oh my God.
There's a Tumblr of identical gay couples.
Oh, like do they dress alike and
people that look alike.
Oh, creep.
That have inadvertently hooked up
because
people want to fuck a mirror image themselves. Yeah.
But I would also say to Bevan, don't feel bad about. You know, the fact that you can kind of commit to people and that you are open and you know, you've got a good heart for that kind of stuff. Don't feel bad about that. That's actually quite a nice thing.
If that's the way it's happening, don't feel funny about it. Relationships are hard enough.
But then again, it might,
without
you know,
second-guessing them and deciding that I'm in the wrong kind of relationship.
Yeah.
Just fucking do it.
Yeah.
And look, you know, you might meet someone that is as quick to jump into a relationship as you are.
Yeah.
And it could become a thing, and then you'll be in love. It'll be lovely.
Yeah. Oh.
And then you'll be together for years, and then the sex will get routine, and you'll yearn for things that you missed out in your youth, and you'll start stealing money, and maybe your first glass of wine will happen earlier and earlier in the day.
You'll start ironing and drinking at the same time.
And one day you'll be at a family function and kids will be running around and you'll think to yourself, is this all there is? And then you'll move to Thailand and open a bar. Change your name to Jackawea.
What is going on with all the people moving to Thailand to open a bar?
Is that a thing?
It's the new antique shop in Dallas, isn't it?
It is.
Yes.
Oh, my my God, I've got at least three friends now who live there in bars that they've opened.
Really?
I know. And I'm like, what? Everyone's like, come over and visit. I'm like, well, soon I'll have to.
Yeah. Because there'll be nobody left here.
I'll be the only one living in Australia.
Wow.
Because it's just aging Australian poofters opening bars and pat pong.
Yeah, wow.
I'll just be able to walk along the beach from one bar to another, say, just having reunions.
Yeah.
I don't know. Do you know what? I know someone who like works here, works as a tech. This is for like 6 months of the year, maybe not even that.
Mm-hmm.
And then spends the other 6 months of the year. He's got like a girlfriend in Thailand and a right. little photography business photographing couples.
Photographing bars owned by Australians.
Yes, yeah. Yes, correct.
Owned by gay Australians.
And I don't know, it sounds like a good life to me. Come here, earn Australian dollars for 6 months.
And then go
you
over.
You know, live at your mum and dad's or whatever the fuck. I don't know, whatever. People's couches. And then go back to, you know, your beautiful island paradise, you know. And
awesome.
It does sound a lot better than Dalesford.
Yeah.
It does sound a lot better than selling fucking jugs to entitled mothers in the middle of fucking winter, pretending that you're somewhere interesting.
Yes.
You're in fucking regional Victoria.
Yeah. Well, given the choice, yeah, Dalesford or Thailand.
Yeah.
I went to Dalesford a couple of weeks ago.
How was it?
Cold.
Yep.
Yeah, see?
Cold. Yep. And just a little too much potpourri for my liking.
Oh, so much fucking potpourri.
Jesus.
Cinnamon sticks
with
a ribbon tied in on your towel.
Not every bit of soap needs to be hand fucking made. Jesus.
Have you ever
Christ.
Heard the weather forecast in Dalesford?
Mm.
They typically forecast that like it'll be a sunny day with early patches of low-lying smug.
Yeah.
And there's lesbians. Yes. There's a lot of
so many lesbians. You know, there's heaps of lesbians in Alice Springs, apparently.
Really?
Really?
Yeah, apparently Alice Springs.
It's because
more...
they can all get away with wearing singlets and thongs. They love that. They fucking love that.
I don't know where I was reading it, but they've got more lesbians. And this was the sentence, more lesbians per square kilometre.
Oh, really?
Per square kilometre.
Oh, God. Like, they must sell a lot of Caniston there. Like, honestly. Because really, that heat and those fumbling.
Oh, that's making me uncomfortable.
That's uncomfortable.
I feel uncomfortable about that. I don't know why. They haven't pinpointed why.
Oh,
but apparently Alice Springs, a raging
hot thing. Are they looking for Fiona O'Loughlin?
Yeah, maybe. Well, yeah, they probably think she's had like 8 kids. She's ready for a change.
I don't know why. Or whether just says maybe there's no one else. Maybe like they're a bigger proportion because no one else can be fucked with Alice Springs.
Yeah, maybe.
And lesbians are the kind of stubborn, right, I will break this town.
Yeah, this is
I will fix this fucking town. Get out of my way.
It is weird. Have you been to Alice Springs?
I've only been there like for like one. I was there with Wes. I spent a night with Wes in Alice Springs. Yes.
No.
Wow.
Yes.
That's a long way to go for an awkward route.
Well, we got into a taxi in Melbourne and Wes wouldn't get out. And he finally got sick of it. They finally broke up in Alice Springs.
Wow.
I was disappointed. I was hoping they'd stay together as far as Broome.
Wes would hate Alice Springs.
Oh, we both hate
it. Because you can't get fresh lettuce. Why
do you hate Alice Springs? What's bad about Alice
Springs? Well, we were both... I don't know if you've ever been there, but it's kind of just got a creepy vibe.
Yeah,
you know, some
only
places have just got
a
creepy atmosphere, and it's made of dirt.
Right.
And we were there for work,
and it's
right?
trapped, like it's...
Yeah, there's like it's ringed by these mountain ranges.
Yeah, and there's like you can only get through like this one gap, which has like the train and the car.
So
and
if there was like a zombie apocalypse,
yeah, it's like quite sci-fi about it.
Yeah,
like
yeah,
you drive
yeah.
The airport's outside of the Ring of Fire.
Yeah,
and so you drive in from the airport through this one little gap in this mountain range that surrounds it, and it's like a if you were like setting a Hellmouth story or something.
Yeah,
you know this one mountain range. And so it's got this kind of weird psychic atmosphere. And we were there for work. We did a workshop in the afternoon. And we finished up about 5. And then we did like a show that finished about 7:30 on like a Thursday night or something. And we said to the venue, oh, we're going to go out and have some dinner. Where's good to go and have some dinner? And the woman from the venue went, now?
Oh, it's 7:30.
And she looked at the watch. Oh, it's like 10 to 8.
Jesus.
You know, and then I don't know, said the name of some venue, like the bleeding asshole might be open. Like it was like it was some kind of like name of foreboding. Yeah, you know? Yeah. It was you know, like
the unwelcome strangers.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Or the shallow bush grave might be open. You might be able to get something there.
Oh, head on Malat.
Yeah, head on down to the John Jarrett. He'll, you know, that'll be.
And so we sat there at this sort of sidewalk table at whatever the Wolf Creek Diner.
Yeah.
Drinking a couple of bottles of wine really quickly.
Right.
Just watching like beggars and homeless black guys and just despondent other people just marching past on this kind of dusty.
Did you see the river at all?
I think like we drove past it.
Because it's always like it's dry.
Oh, right.
Like it fills just about once every 7 years or something.
Yeah,
and it's just full of people standing around barrels that are on fire.
Yeah. Oh, well, right. I think that's the, I don't know, but I think they're the town camps. I think that's where a lot of the like itinerant indigenous people come in, like that, like their town is out in some like
Survivor,
know.
Is it?
Survivor, yeah. Right.
Probe either that, or they've been filming an In Excess film clip there for the last 35 years. So, I don't know, but it's just the kind of place where like you just can't imagine anything happy.
Yeah,
you know, it's like if Disneyland opened Disneyland Alice Springs, it would be pre-decrepit. You
right,
know?
Like they'll
be pre-decrepitized.
Yeah,
it'll be pre-creepy.
It's weird. Already. And then if you go to the suburbs, it's like the suburb. It's like being in South Morang.
Oh, really?
Or Epping, yeah.
And suburban it's only Alice Springs.
It's only two streets away from the main strip.
Right, because of course it's tiny.
Yeah, and it's just, you just go, oh, I'm in some weird dry suburb.
Mm.
Like all the houses are the same. It's, you know, like you.
Is there
you
any
feel
other
like
industry apart from tourism?
I don't know.
They don't do anything, do they?
No.
There's no real reason for it, is
and
there?
And it's like, I thought it was near Ayers Rock.
No.
It's like 5 hours away.
Oh, is it?
Yes.
I just assumed it was kind of nearby.
Ayers Rock's
as well.
Practically in South Australia.
Yeah, it's nearly a full day's drive away.
Wow.
Yeah.
I know.
Oh, no wonder they're depressed.
But it's beautiful.
Right.
Like, the countryside is beautiful. Around there, on the way in.
You're not convinced, are you?
I am not as excited by dirt as Adam is, clearly.
No, I was there for Fiona's 40th, I think.
Oh, right.
Some time ago. Mm. And she had to get her photo taken for something or another. So we went to a really pretty bit of rock somewhere.
Yeah, well, they can do amazing things in post-production.
Yeah.
I'm sure they made it look amazing.
Yeah, they photoshopped her and made her look like she was standing in a Melbourne street.
Maybe that's why all the lesbians live there, right? Someone has set up Alice Springs to be close to Uluru, and they've gone, oh, no, we've fucked it. We've put it in the wrong place. And the lesbians are just like, don't worry about it, mate. We'll move the rock here.
Yeah.
Don't worry about it. When Janine's finished at the animal shelter, we'll knock off after work and go around.
Maybe
and we'll tie it to the ute and we'll just drag the fucker there.
Yeah,
don't worry about it. No, I've got time this afternoon. I'm re-stumping the entire hospital, so
yes.
I can squeeze it in before then.
I'm re-stumping the entire city.
Yeah. I'm re-stumping the entire Northern Territory, so I can do it after. Don't worry about it.
They've all moved
me and my
there.
Seven wives will just...
Because they thought that Alice Springs was like... That Elton John song, All the Girls Love Alice.
Oh, yeah. Maybe they thought it was a description rather than a name.
Alice Springs. Serving suggestions.
Yes. Oh, sweet.
Oh, Alice Springs, that sounds uncomfortable.
Oh, yes, that's but uncomfortable. I'd like to get to know her.
Not as uncomfortable as when Alice bounces.
Yeah.
in a bouncy castle. Are you ready for another letter?
Sure.
This one is controversial.
God, is it about me again?
Yes. Right. Just wondering if you want to talk about a curious topic. I'm an older
just
guy.
Wondering.
Yeah. Hi,
just wondering.
Hi.
Just wondering.
Love your show. We'll talk about fucking anything.
Mm.
Yeah. I'm an older guy, mid to late 40s, and my profile on Grindr is a daddy.
Oh.
When I first joined up last year, I thought as an older guy, I would struggle to connect with other guys, especially younger guys.
Stop saying older when you're 40. Stop it.
Yeah, yeah.
Although I do prefer older, hairy guys. Hello, Adam.
Oh, you're Bevan. Too late, Bevan. Bevan.
Stop it.
Snapped
you're
up.
Too late.
I know. You snooze, you lose, girl.
breakfast fucker has got him.
The breakfast fucker.
Eggs and bacon has got him.
I get lots of guys, especially young guys, who want me to be their daddy so they can be my son, in inverted commas, or good boy, and pleasure daddy. While this can be fun and lead to some hot sex, it doesn't take a Rhodes Scholar to know that I'm tapping into their unconscious or / conscious abuse issues.
Is he talking about like a fetish scene or like a role play?
I've had a couple of times where people want more than just, you know. You think they're attracted to you because, you know, that you're just their type. And then it's like...
And then suddenly they're projecting all this stuff on you.
Yeah, it's like, come on, daddy, tell me I've been a bad boy.
Oh, right, they want you to behave a certain way or say certain things or whatever. Yeah, okay.
He said, it's easy to turn a blind eye and just have fun, but I must admit I'm always worried they may turn. Girlfriend.
Mm.
What is it with all this daddy shit? Why has something so menacing turned into a popular and acceptable sexual fantasy?
Yeah.
Well, good point.
Yeah.
Good point, Bevan. Because it is... Yeah. There is something... I don't know, that kind of stuff like makes me, you know, uncomfortable.
That's uncomfortable.
That's uncomfortable.
Just, and I don't know whether it's just I'm sensitive to like the whole sort of child abuse thing, like which is so often leveled at gays, you know, like it's such a
pressure point. Isn't everyone shocked that our high profile pedophiles turn out to prefer women?
It's such a disappointment for the homophobes.
Devastating for the Westboro Baptist Church and their life.
So it kind of, I mean, I don't know, I suppose everything's legitimate. Like if you're into that, then you know, and you can find someone else who's into that, then good on you. But it's creepy. I'm not wrong.
It is
right?
a bit creepy, but also, you know, sure. Like, you know, Bevan here has said that he's slightly uncomfortable with it. If it's fully negotiated and fully, you know, both sides are into it and that's okay.
This is like that time Scott got raped by the Asian.
That was consensual.
Remember the muscly guy?
Like if it's consensual and all that sort of stuff, like it can be a thing that you can do. But I understand what he's saying too.
Yeah, absolutely.
He feels like he's taking advantage of what is not a legitimate preference.
Of theirs.
It's actually not driven by genuine taste in men. It's driven by...
Yeah, it's not like they're into kind of, you know, wrestling or, you know, or certain outfits or that kind of stuff. It's actually a kind of a dodgy... What can be a dodgy dynamic that I guess hints to something darker.
Yeah, really. I guess that's the problem is that, you know, you go, I want to have, you know, a fun sexual escapade. Yeah. And then you're like, oh, now I've got to do therapy.
Yeah, now it's all suddenly become very Freudian.
Part of your weird therapy.
Or as he says, you never know when they're going to flip and just go, you're just like my real dad.
Yeah. If you're going to start prodding around in those sort of undercurrents.
You know, are you going to end up chained to a radiator by Boy George? Scott just suddenly thought that was hot.
No, I just thought, that would be the best fucking story to have. Like, that would be, I'd be like, if something like that happened, like a big star like Boy George or whoever chained me to a radiator or whatever, or, you know, like that, I'd be like, I'd be telling everyone. That would be awesome. Like, I want this to get weirder. I want him to come in and shave me or something.
Mine gets his hair cut by a nude barber.
Really?
What?
He works upstairs at Circuit, apparently.
Oh, I knew there was a barber who worked. I didn't realize he was nude.
Yeah, he's nude.
Really?
It's totally nude.
And he goes to Circuit to get his hair cut.
And then you go in nude. And get your hair cut. Like, you're nude, he's nude, hair gets cut. And he will cut the other hair.
Sounds
as
unnecessarily
gays
complicated.
Gays are amazing,
he will tidy up down wherever else you need
gays
to be.
Gays are fucking amazing.
Does he wash the scissors?
Because I don't think he's sticking the scissors up his ass.
Well, no.
Because that's uncomfortable.
I don't know. There'd be some manky guys. I'd be like, have you washed the comb on those clippers after going through that?
You would have to.
You'd have the blue water and the blue light.
I love the blue water.
The blue light and the blue water. I don't know. I haven't been there to get my haircut.
Oh, I'm going
to
check this out. Nude haircuts. Well, I guess, you know, you wouldn't get that kind of itchy hair coat in your clothes kind of thing.
No. That would be hilarious if you sit down in the nude and then he puts the coat on you.
Yeah. Because he'd get all hot under it, it would cling.
You know what I would love? Because I think it's all, you know, it's a barber, so it's very straight up and down. I'd love it if some twink hears this and goes, oh, I'm going to get my hair cut by the hot nude hairdresser.
Yeah.
I just want to get my foils done.
Yeah. I like the idea of all these people sitting in the nude with the foils.
Yes.
All in a row. Under the dryer.
Or like waiting.
A cup of coffee, reading wallpaper magazine.
Yeah. Or waiting in line, sitting on a bench in very varying stages of undress. Like the closer you are, the more you're not wearing. Or is that,
daddies and sons. I wonder about is what other people's judgments? How do you feel about taking your quote son? To, you know, meet your family or your friends or whatever. Because if you're, like, your son, he's going to have nothing in common with the rest of your friends.
Yeah.
And you're not going to have anything in common with your son's friends. Yeah, quote, son's
true.
Friends.
No.
Stop calling him a son. That is
weird. Yeah, it's creepy. It is creepy.
You just, every time you blunder into this scene, you just get...
it's just...
There's just a creepy trap waiting to get you.
Yeah.
You just can't escape that this is fucked up.
It's quite a big scene, though. There's
it's
a
huge.
Lot of it going on.
There's heaps of it going on.
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
And
because,
it's,
you know, just, I
have
guess.
You crossed the line yet, Scott? From son into daddy?
No.
He would be like an Adam Sandler daddy. Do you know what I mean? Like, irresponsible.
Yeah, no, I'd just be like, I'd be like the sort of daddy that would, you know, only have access every second weekend. You know, like I wouldn't be full-time daddy. I'd be like, cool daddy, come on, let's go to the Royal Melbourne Show. Yeah. I mean, you know, that kind of daddy.
You're just daddy in the park on a Saturday morning.
I did have an experience now where I was years ago, and I think I might have actually mentioned this on a previous podcast.
It's all right. We were drunk. We won't remember.
We don't remember.
Where I was giving some... oral love to a certain gentleman of the Asian persuasion.
Well, that's not a surprise.
I know it's not. But he
there's nothing surprising in this story. Yes, we have heard this one a few times.
Yes. I know, it actually could be the start of any weekend.
All of your fanecdotes start with you sucking off some bit of rice.
Yeah. Anyway, but he started up with the talk.
On a rice husk.
But he started up with a bit of, you know, dirty talk.
Yeah.
But the dirty talk was, daddy, suck your son's cock. And it got to the point where I just kind of went, I'm sorry, I can't do this.
I'm not that old.
Well, yes. First of all, I was very young when I had you.
I was a teenager when I had you.
But
you're only as old as the person you're feeling, right?
That's
right.
Now
I'm nearly 19.
But it was.
Come on, girls, let's hit the dance floor. Yay. Late September, back in 63.
So I bought him a lemon Ruskin. We had a great time. But as soon as he was started on the suck your son's cock, I was like, I've kind of lost my heart.
Yeah, I don't like that.
That makes me
go soft, as does referring to various parts of the male anatomy as if they are ladies' bits.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Man, fuck my pussy.
Yeah. It's weird.
Has that ever happened?
Fuck my bum tits.
No.
No one says bum tits.
No, I just made that up.
Right. Yeah. I was going to say, who are you having sex with? Dick Emery? Ooh, fuck my bum tits.
Fuck my bum tits.
I've never come across the you know, fuck my boy pussy outside of the movies.
I've never experienced that in life.
I have had that a couple of times.
Because that seems to be like something that exclusively a porn would think up.
Yes,
but for...
I'd like them to start using bum tits.
Again, it's the people who come out late in life whose entire sexual knowledge is garnered from watching those shitty films.
Yes. I have political issues with it. I think it's heteronormative.
Yeah, right.
I don't like that. Also, if you can't tell the difference between a bum and a moot, then,
then come and find me.
Scott will show you.
Yeah, that's right, because I've got both.
It's just like a vagina, but it's brown.
Yeah.
My problem always was I don't want to have sex with a woman, so...
Mm-hmm. Yeah, why are you...
Stop trying to make me feel like this is somehow normal. Because it's not.
Yeah.
Because that's what it feels like. It feels like it's a way to make people...
Well, yeah.
It's like the bait bus or something. Like, you know, oh, you'll feel okay about it if I talk about it in those terms.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's
weird. They're all... That's all set up anyway, the bait bus.
Yeah, it's all made up.
It's all made up by gays.
How do they get those 14 different angles with the allegedly one camera?
Yeah.
Are you saying the porn isn't real? Oh, stop it. Shut up.
I'm happy to believe it when I've got it in my hand.
Yeah, this is really happening. Yeah.
Do you know what I saw on the porno net?
Mm-hmm. The porno net.
A couple of weeks ago. And I fell into a hole into it. You know, like my tranny hole that I fell into.
Yeah.
Just going, what the fuck is this? There's hundreds of them out there. Clothed female, naked male.
Oh, right? What? Really?
And there's this scene, right, where the shtick is, right, there's these videos of like an office scenario, right, where like there's all these women just typing at their computers, going about things, while just a nude guy serves them coffee.
Oh,
right.
Right.
This is the shtick. Well, there was another one
So is there like actual sex or is it just a nude guy hanging around?
No, this is just like 7 minutes video of a nude guy serving coffee to clothed women.
Wow. Oh.
And there was another one where there was like two women like doing, you know, burpees or something, you know.
Yeah, like exercise-y stuff.
Yeah, but like not in hot leotards or anything, just like in sort of tennis gear.
Yeah.
While a nude guy just stood in the corner.
Wow.
Just sort of occasionally touching himself and stuff. It was some weird... It starts off right when you're Googling Japanese pop groups.
Oh, I'm sure that would be just down the rabbit hole to a whole lot of stuff.
And you...
Once you type junior, senior, you get a lot of...
Yeah.
if you're Googling, like in some combination, Japan pop super junior, who is a popular Korean...
Yes.
Band, then Google starts serving you up some pretty fucked up suggestions.
Yeah, right. Tentacle porn?
I haven't come across that. Okay, haven't. Oh, there was this one thing where there was a bunch of octopuses wearing dresses just doing the typing while a nude guy. But this weird Japanese scene of clothed female naked. It might be the other way around, but it's like CFNM is the thing. Yeah.
I'm totally going to check that out.
But like, what another. I don't know if that's like a really convenient fetish or a really elaborate one that you have to contrive.
And is it Japanese? Or?
Yeah, all the things that I saw were Japanese.
All the weird things.
All
are
the
Japanese.
Weird shit is Japanese.
I've been reading a lot of manga lately, and it's
mostly.
I don't understand what's going on.
Yeah,
all
right.
The time.
Yeah, yeah.
All the weird things used to be Dutch.
And sexually now, like, no, look up tentacle
porn. I'm talking like tulips.
Tulip plugs.
I can remember in my youth.
Shoes made out of wood, for fuck's sake. Oh, ridiculous.
One of the first dirty movies I ever saw was a thing called Royal Dutch Military Pissing Party.
I remember you going on about this. Royal Dutch Military Pissing Party.
And it almost put me off porn for life because it was just like, oh, this is just stupid.
I know, but then.
Is this what porn is?
Strangely enough.
But you know what? I persevered, right? Because I'm not a quitter.
Because I was going to say, strangely enough, that was the theme for your 35th birthday.
It was the Royal Dutch Military Pissing Party reunion. Where are they now?
Yeah.
In fact, it was called Royal Dutch Military Pissing Party 2. Still pissing.
Yay! They'd all got a bit older, but none of them had tinier.
It's just the trouble with the Royal Dutch Military Pissing Party is the queue for the bar is so long.
The way that name just trips off your tongue.
He said it so many times.
Royal Dutch Military Pissing Party. What about Gert and Anders? Well, they invited me to their Royal Dutch Military Pissing Party. So I guess I better invite them to mine.
Do the Dutch have a military?
That's true.
I don't know.
And how do you organise the seating plan at that party, honestly?
Like, I know they've got a queen, so the royal part's fine.
Yes, tick.
I guess they would. They're on the coast, so, you know, they would have had invaders.
Oh, they were invaded by Germans.
Yeah.
In fact, they still hate the Germans because they stole all their bicycles and melted them down.
The Vatican City's got an army. They're a Vatican city, so presumably the Netherlands has an
some
army.
Sort of.
Just their old military.
That is really good at marking its territory.
Yeah.
Yeah. And pissing on the border.
Yes. That's how they invade. They just go into another country and write their name in the snow.
But now that I'm thinking about it, like, you know, this was like, I don't know, God, 30, you know, 20, 30, 25 yeah. years ago, yeah. they've probably grown up and matured and they probably had Royal Dutch Military baby showers.
Yeah, yes.
Oh, now it's, oh, Royal yeah. Dutch Military.
Now we're on a list, Toby, with yeah. Andy Muirhead.
Oh, no. Yeah. Oh, now no. it's like, it's like 30-something. It's like, you know, yeah. you know yeah. great. Right.
Royal Dutch Military pissing party.
I don't know. Maybe it's not even. Maybe it's on YouTube. I don't know. It's been some time.
Well, maybe,
since
maybe it's like 7 on Pornhub. And
you then. Know what? I might have a good old nostalgic wank after this. I might just have a bit of a sentimental journey.
Yeah. Like, some tissues for the groin and a couple for the eyes.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, look, it's just like old days. Oh. I might just have a good old wank down memory lane.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
Let's just stop
there. On that note, that's yeah. enough. Wow.
We'll be back at some point. Yeah, we're here and we're queer.